Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on five lines from the bottom of Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. We're at Tanur Rabbanan, and we're picking up a little bit of discussion. We discussed yesterday what the Mekoshes, which Isser did the Mekoshes Eitzim do. So now the Gemara discusses who the Mekoshes Eitzim was. The Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan Mekoshes that Slavchad. This is what Slavchad. We know that Bnos Slavchad came to Moshe and asked for a portion of land, and they said that Arvinu Meis because of his chait. So now, according to this Braisa, the Mekoshes is Slavchad. V'cheinu Omer, as the Pasuk states, V'ibnei Yisrael Bamidbar, that they were in the midbar, they were in the desert, and they found the man. And then the pasuk also says, "Ulahalanu Omer Avinu Meis b'midbar." When it's referring to Bnos Slavchad coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling them that he died, it specifically is lashon Avinu Meis b'midbar. So we're learning a Gzera Shava, and the Gzera tells us the following: "Ma'lahalan Slavchad Avkan Slavchad." So just like when we see before, it says that we're talking about Bnos Slavchad, it's obviously referring to their father, Avinu Meis, Bnos Slavchad, or the daughters of Slavchad, referring to their father. So too, when it came to the Mekoshes Eitzim, which used the superfluous lashon of Bamidbar, that he was in the desert, so too it must have been that this was referenced to Slavchad as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, this part of the braces so far had all been the words of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisera, Akiva, ben kach, ben kach, ata asa din es adin. Either way, you're going to be punished, ke'ilu, for what you have just described, for the drasha that you just made. Why? Because if it's indeed true what you just said, if that's really true, the Torah had decided to hide it. The Torah didn't tell us who this person was Mekoshes Eitzim, so obviously the Torah didn't want to tell us who it was. And you are going ahead and revealing it, that's not a good thing to do. V'im lav, and if you're wrong, at the motilazo, it's a tzaddik, you're saying lashon hara about this tzaddik. Because the question that Achronim asked, what does it mean, tzaddik? He wasn't a tzaddik, it says that he was chetomis. So maybe no, at the end of the day, to say that he was violating Shabbos, that maybe he did something more moderate that he did, but to say that he was violating Shabbos, chayv skila, that would be considered a major avira, as opposed to maybe he just did something not as bad. So the Gemara now asks, at the end of the day, though, Ella hug Gamar Gzera Sheva. At the end of the day, what was Rabbi Yehuda so upset about? Rabbi Kiva had a Gzera Sheva, which he had learned out, that teaches us that it was a reference to, it must have been Slavchad. So the Gemara says, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda Mevisir, however, says, Gzera Sheva lo Gamar. He didn't learn it out. Rashi points out, every Gzera Sheva has to be, you can't don a Gzera Sheva me'atzmo. No Tana, even a Tana is not allowed to dorish a Gzera Sheva, as opposed to, let's say, Kal V'chomer and things like that. Tanaim expound all the time on Kal V'chomer. So when it comes to Gzera Sheva, you have to Mesora from your Rebbe, from his Rebbe, all the way Halacha L'Moshe Me'Sinai. So which the Gemara asks, the Tosas asks, what do you mean? What do you mean Gzera Sheva lo Gamar? So learn it out from Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva must have had a Mesora, and he got it from Moshe Rabbeinu, so then let Rabbi Yehuda Mesira agree to that Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. How could he possibly argue on this Gzera Sheva? So Tosas gives a very interesting answer. The Tosas is actually the Yesod that a lot of people quote for different contexts of Gzera Sheva. When you have a machlokas about Gzera Sheva, Rabbeinu Tam says that it must be that they had a Kabbalah for the number of Gzera Shavas that they're in the whole Torah. So, and they had this from the Rebbeim, and therefore, it must be that he had, let's say, it was 457 Gzera Shavas throughout the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda Mesira already had 457. So this would have been a 458. He already had a Mesorah for all the Gzera Shavas, and it must be that therefore he could not accept their Bikiva's Gzera Shavas. Very interesting idea how there was Machlokas about Gzera Shavas. The Gemara says Ela Mehecha Hava. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Mesira, which sin did Slavchad in fact do? So the Gemara says Mevayapilu Hava. It came up from the sin that was discussed that they went by Apilu, that after Rashi, this week's Parsha, for those in Chutzlar, it's in Eretz Yisrael rather, the Parsha Shlach, that what happened after Moshe Rabbeinu says they're going to be punished, they're not going to go for 40 years. So there's people who didn't listen, they just went up, they finally went up, they ignored Moshe Rabbeinu, it specifically says that Aaron stayed, Moshe stayed, and they went up and they were killed by Amalek and the Kanani who are living there, because Moshe Rabbeinu said it's not our time to go in. Hashem doesn't want us to go to Eretz Yisrael yet, and they ignored Moshe and went up to there. So therefore, he was that's the aver he did. And according to Rashi, points out that this is much less of a violation. This is much less chamor than going out and outright violating Shabbos, the chiyuv skilo Shabbos. So now the Gemara continues. Kiyotu b'davar ata omer. We see a similar thing. Vayechar af Hashem bam vayelach. Those in Chutzaritz now. So we have two parshas. Those were in Eretz Yisrael, the previous line. Now this line is those who are in Chutzaritz. This is this week's parsha. Parshas Baloscha. It says that Hashem was upset, very angry at Aaron and Miriam. So this, we learn out that Aaron too got saras, because it says that the anger of Hashem, the wrath of Hashem, was on both of them, both Miriam and Aaron. So it must be that Aaron is also punished. Rabbi Kiva, that's what Rabbi Kiva says. Similarly, like we had over here, this discussion over here as well, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisera is upset with this. At the end of the day, the Torah never told us that Aaron got saras. Now all of a sudden you're going and saying that Aaron got saras for whatever reason. The Torah didn't want to tell us. So, v'im lav, however, if it's not that case, If you're not right that Aaron was also got tzaras, then you are you're spreading lashon hara about Aaron HaKohen that he had gotten tzaras. At the end of the day, what is Rabbi Yehuda ben Asira going to do with the words ban that Hashem got angry at them in plural, referencing obviously Aaron and Miriam together, that they were, Hashem was angry at both of them. So the Gemara answers, Ahu ben Azifa be'alma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Asira is explaining that Hashem's anger is just rebuking both of them. That at the end of the day, Aaron was not actually punished physically. Aaron hadn't really. Miriam was the one who started the whole lashon hara. She started it. So she was punished more. Aaron got the rebuke because he was involved a little bit, but still, we see that Aaron HaKohen was not Nitzareya. The Gemara says, Tanakh Amar to Aaron Nitzareya. The Brisa now points out that we have a Brisa that follows Rabbi Akiva. It's very interesting. Lashon, we almost never have this, where we say that a Brisa was supporting another Tana. We have Rabbi Akiva. Usually Amoraim, we say Tanakh Avasi Derava, Tanakh Avasi Dabaye. But we have Rabbi Akiva is the one who said it. What do you mean Tanakh Amar to Aaron Nitzareya? So Lechora, we're going to, this is a response to Rabbi Akiva, to Rabbi Yehuda ben Basira. We're expounding that Rabbi Yehuda ben Basira is saying you're saying Lashon Hara about Aaron HaKohen. So this brisa is going to show that that's not true, because Yechsiv Vayipen Aaron Miriam v'neimet tzaras, and Aaron turned to Miriam and behold she had tzaras. The Gemara says Tana Shepina mitzaraso, and Aaron turned, and this brisa is telling us this drasha that he turned from his own tzaras, he had tzaras, it was cured, and then he looked at the Miriam tzaras and she still had a tzaras. So this brisa is telling explicitly came out that Aaron was nitzareya, Aaron had tzaras as well. So that's before why we're bringing a raya from Aaron, from this brisa to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara continues, Amar Reish Lakish, Achoshet v'ksherem, loke begufo. Someone who suspects someone who's innocent is going to be punished directly by his body. What's the difference when the person always does a sin, Hashem is going to punish him? So Chassam Sofer points out, for others, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu usually will first show us simanim, will show so your person or son his parnasa, he'll lose his parnasa. Hashem wants you to do tshuva, he'll make other things around you worse until you do tshuva, and if you don't listen, then Hashem's going to punish us. Kiyotze Badavar, similarly, Hashem will send a virus to the middle of nowhere, middle of Wuhan, China, and everyone will, Hashem is waiting for us to do tshuva, and then it'll spread to the whole world until we finally get the message. The Pasuk says they're not going to believe me. And so the Gemara says, so it's a reference to when Moshe first was chosen. So Moshe said, don't choose me, and he says, the Klal Yisrael is never going to listen to me anyway, don't choose me. Now it was revealed to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he knew that Klal Yisrael was going to listen. So Hashem said to him, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu, they're believers, the children of believers, and you are not going to believe in me. They actually listened. When Moshe Rabbeinu came in, it says that Moshe, they actually listened to the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and accepted that. It says by the pasuk referencing Avram Avinu that he accepted, that he believed what Hashem had told him. After that, the pasuk says. So the Gemara says now, Ata ein sof alahamin. However, you are going to fail to believe in me, and that's what Moshe and Parshas Chukah is going to be punished. Nemar yan lo aman to be. The pasuk says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is referenced to Moshe and Aaron when they sinned and hit the rock, that you guys didn't believe in me to hit the rock, and therefore it was a lack of Kiddush Hashem, and therefore you're punished, and I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asks, my delaka, so. But where is it known that Moshe Rabbeinu was hit his body for where do we see that his body was afflicted? And Marsan Tuchsiv, Vayomar Hashem Hod Havena Yadcha Bechekecha. And really, the Hemshich of Pasuk is really the Iker here. Vayava Yed Bechekecha Vayotze Veine Yado Mitzaras Kashalam. Hashem had made Tzaraas on his hand. So Moshe Rabbeinu's body was stricken with Tzaraas because he was better. Rashi over there explains the Rashi Chumash explains that he was Nitzareya because he spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara continues. Gemara says Amar Rava Veitemar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Mida Tova Mimaharas Lavo Midas Parnas. That a good Mida is much better. It's going to come out much quicker than a bad Mida, than a bad thing that Hashem has planned out. The Ilav Mida Parnas Ksiva Yotze Veinevi Yadam Mitzaras Kshalav. For something that was bad, it said that Moshe had to withdraw his hand and withdraw his hand, and when it was like Tzaraas, it was like the Tzaraas. Ilav Mida Tova Ksiva Yotze Mecheika Veinei Shav. However, when it's referencing the fact that Hashem had healed him, it says that he drew it from his chest, and then right away it became back to his regular body. So what was lashon from his chest? Mecheko hu deshava kibsara. Already from when it was in his chest, but he didn't even move his hand yet, it had already been healed. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was quicker to heal things and do a midah tova than to bad things. The Gemara continues with this pasuk vayevla mataronas matosam. That the staff of Aaron HaKohen swallowed the staffs of the Egyptian sorcerers and things like that. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Neis B'Silch Nechlez. This is a miracle within a miracle. Why? Because the miracle of the fact that Aaron's snake was swallowed up them, that was one. But Rashi points out that also it went back to a staff originally. So it went back to the staff and then went back to the snake. That's a double miracle. Those are two miracles discussed over here. Now we're going back to the Machlokas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Machlokas from Rekiva and the Chachamim about throwing from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus, through the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid with Rishus HaRabim Be'emtam. Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. And then there was a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. Rabbi Kiva says, we're going to Chayav and the Chamsay Rapatos. And where it says, by Rabbi, Rabbi have a question. Lemata, we actually saw this sent off the Alt for those who remember. By Rabbi, Lemata Masar Pligi. Did they disagree with the case? Dafka, where it's below 10 fachim v'hapligi, and this is going to be the machlokas. Demar sev arminan kluta kimo shehuncha. That Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that we say that something that's contained in the airspace of a domain like the Rosh Hashanah is halachically going to be considered as if it's resting over there. Rabbi Akiva holds over here apparently that an object, even though it's thrown in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't actually need to physically land there. It doesn't have to be stopped. Rather, if it is kluta, if it is contained in that area, even though it's passing through it by the fact that you throw it, it's considered as if it's halakhically there. That's what Rashi said earlier in the Avtala. The Gemara says, "Umar savar lo min kluta kumushuncha." However, the Chachamim hold that we don't say that something contained in the airspace as if it's come through Esther. Avala malamasar. However, if you threw it above 10 tefachim from the ground, divrei akol pater. Everyone's going to agree that you are going to be pater. Why? Because usually something above 10 tefachim from the ground is not considered rishus rabim anymore halakhically. It's considered a makom ptur, an area that's exempted. So this too would be a makom tur, and you would not be chayev. The Gemara says, and then the Gemara ends off the lo yalfin on zorak motion. And then if we would say that this is the machlokas, then everyone would agree that we don't learn out the halacha of throwing from that of passing. Because passing, we mentioned, right, when they used to pass from the wagons to Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, they used to pass along later to Rosh Hashanah above 10 tefachim. So Hoshata, by nature, we mentioned that yesterday, that's good for the chiddush of Hoshata, is something that was done above 10 tefachim. That tells you that that's how you, when you pass in that manner, you're going to be chayav d'oraisa. So if you learned out from Moshit, then you would tell you by Zorek as well, that Zorek, sure, if you throw it above 10 tefachim, should also be chayav. So the Gemara is telling us over here that both the Chachamim and the Rabbanan in this Mandamar would be disagreeing with this, that we would both be disagreeing, meaning they're both agreeing, let's say, in the positive, they're both agreeing that we do not learn Zorek Mimoshit. That's what comes out of the Gemara over here. And then Rashi points out, though, if that's the case, then the Mishnah Lafi this Havamina right now, then this Mishnah would not be a Liba de Rabbi Kiva or Chachamim. Because, right, because our Mishnah told us that you throw from one to the other, and use a lashon of ketzad, and it told you that what's going to be the case if you throw it from one porch to the other porch, the gustros, and you throw it from one to the other, and the Mishnah says that that case, Rabbi Kiva says, is going to be that ketzad is in the ficha chayim rather, and that would not be the case because everyone is going to agree that there's not going to be chayev if you throw it from one versus rabim to the other if it's above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says that was the first. Dilma, there's another tzad to say lemalam asar pligi. They're really arguing we're in a situation where we're discussing the object was passed above 10 tefachim from the ground of pligi, and this is what they're arguing. Demar savi alfinan zorik moshe. Rabbi Kiva is going to hold that we taka learn out the lacha of throwing from that of passing. And they're just like Moshit, you're allowed to do above that. The whole nature of Moshit was above 10 tefachim. So too, if you throw above 10 tefachim, you're going to be chayev. Marshav Leon Fidon Zorik Moshit. Well, the Chachamim would hold that we do not learn the lacha of passing from the lacha of throwing from the lacha of passing. And Rashi points out, and according to the second explanation, our Mishnah, when it says Ketzad, is a continuation of that of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim would be saying that you would not be Chayev. Aval Matba Sara Divrei Kol Chayev. However, if it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground, everyone would agree that you're going to be Chayev. Ma'itama Kluta K'mushon Chadame, because everyone agrees to this principle that something contained in the airspace of a certain area of a domain is going to be halachically viewed as if it is sitting there for the object that had really been contained for the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and therefore it's as if it was sitting in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and even Chachamim would agree if you threw it less than tefachim, you'd be Chayev. Why? They argue in the Mishnah because the Chacham Dafka arguing the Mishnah according to this explanation because you threw it above 10 tefachim from one porch to the other porch is obviously above 10 tefachim on the ground. It's probably 20 feet, 30 feet, whatever, how tall their porches were. Then obviously you're going to be pater according to Chacham. So the Gemara now answers Amar of Yosef, Hai Milsei Bailei Leder of Chista, Prashtei, Nielei Rav Mnuna Maha. So Rav Mnuna, Rav Chista was bothered by this, and Rav Mnuna answered it from the following The Raisa tells us if someone is transferring an object from a private domain to another private domain and then it was passing to the public domain atzma. That's going to be an important word over there. That's actually in the Rishus Rabbim, Rabbi Kiva Machayev, and Chachamim approach him. Rabbi Kiva is going to say Chayev, and the Chachamim say you're Pater. So the Gemara says, Mitakamar Rishus Rabbim atzma. You're actually in the Rishus Rabbim. What does that mean? Atzma means that, as Rashi points out, it's not in the Makom Torah. It must be that you're actually in the Rishus Rabbim. You're in the area of below 10th Fachim. So therefore, Pshita Lamatim Asar Bliga, they must be clear from here that they're disagreeing with regards to where it was thrown within 10th Fachim from the ground. Because it says, it's specific, you're in the Rishus Rabbim. For us, above 10th Fachim on the ground, that's not halachically called in the Rishus Rabbim. So the Bryson must be talking about less than 10th Fachim on the ground. So the Gemara says, Uvamai. What are we discussing? Which case are transferring? Elim and Mavir are going to talk about passing from one object to the other. So lamata masar with the mechayev, lamala masar la mechayev. That but only this would imply that only below 10th fachim would be chayev according to Rabbi Kiva, but you're not be chayev more than that. Rabbi Lazar motzi masar lamala masar chayev. Shekin masar benikad. Rabbi Lazar told us that dafka someone who's passing over above 10th fachim is going to be chayev just like the benikahas had done in the Mishkan. We saw before that that's how they would move the aron. They would move that on their shoulders. So therefore, clearly, you'd be chayev more than 10th fach on the ground. It must be that this machlokas was referencing someone who's throwing the object through the Rishus Rabbim. Lamata masar with the mechayev, lamala masar lo mechayev. So it must be that below 10th fachim, that's when Rabbi Kiva is going to say you're going to be chayev. However, lamala masar lo mechayev, that if you throw above 10th fachim, even Rabbi Kiva is going to be moda, you're not going to be chayev. Shmamina bekluta kamoshun chapligis. So we see from there that Rabbi Kiva and the Chama are actually fundamentally disagreeing with the principle. Do we agree? Is there such a principle that something contained in airspace, is it applicable or not? According to Chachamim, it is not, meaning even if you throw it below 10th fachim of the ground, you're not going to be chayev. However, according to Rabbi Kiva, you would be chayev. Shmamina, Rabbi Muna says, therefore, that is a good proof. Now the Gemara says that is not accepted by everyone. The Gemara says, applicable to Rabbi Lazar. The Omar Rabbi Lazar, Mechavi Rabbi Kiva, I feel the Malam Asar, the Rabbi Lazar says that Rabbi Kiva held that even if you pass the object in the Rishus, if you threw the object in above 10th fachim on the ground in the Rishus Rabbim, you'd be chayev. Adak ne Rishus Rabbim Atzma. But the Braisa had a deal, though. The Braisa implied at a mashmaus, it implied in the Braisa itself that if you throw from the 10th fachim on the ground, so why to use that lashon atzma, the haldicha kochod rabbanan. This is to show you how far the rabbanan go. The rabbanan reject the fact that we say we don't learn zorak kemoshit, and also they reject the concept of kluta kemoshit hunchadami, and therefore they are going to hold that even if you throw it less than 10th fachim on the ground, even in that circumstance, the rabbanan are going to say that you would be putter. So that's a very, very big chiddush. And the market is and where says a pligid of chilkel bar tuvi. Rabbi chilkel bar tuvi even agreed with Rabbi Lazar, because what he said to Rabbi chilkel bar tuvi, toch shlosha devar kol chayav, that if you threw it, if someone threw the object and it's below three tefachim the ground, even the rabbanan are going to agree that you're going to be chayav. Rabbi Kiva for sure, and rabbanan are going to also agree that you're going to be chayav. Lamala masar kliver kol pater, as opposed to if it's above 10th tefachim the ground, everyone's going to agree that you are going to be pater. Why is that? Because someone who passes over the airspace of 10th Fachim, everyone's going to agree that we don't learn Zorek Memoshit, and therefore you don't have any proof to show that above 10th Fachim would be Chayav. Mishloshev Adasar, however, between 3 and 10th Fachim, that is Machlokas. Bana Machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. That's Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. Whether we're going to assume that we say Klutuk Shmon Chadami in that situation, Rabbi Akiva say what we would, and Chachamim would say that we would not. The Gemara says, Taman Hachwe, a price that supports Rabbi Chilke Bar Tov's interpretation. Besoch Shloshadir Akol Chayav. It's within 3 Fachim on the ground, everyone's going to breathe. You're going to be chayev. That above 10th fachim of the ground, it's only going to be asr rabbanan to do that, to throw from one to the other. Why is that? Rashi points out, another thing to do with the Rishus Rabbim over here, that simply just, this is a bit, the hemshech is going to be the proof for Rashi why that's correct, that it has to do with the fact that you don't have an erev chatzeris. Even if you're throwing it from one to the other, you don't have an erev chatzeris. An erev chatzeris, if multiple people live in a certain area, a common area, you have to have an erev. We're going to discuss that when we get to Me'asach Erev, but here, that's what Rashi holds as a problem from throwing it from one to the other. And the proof of that is if these both private domains belong to him, then you're permitted to throw the object from one domain to the other, even if it's passing over the Rishus HaRabim. And why aren't we afraid that something will fall? So Rashi points out, because then you'd be misasik at worst if it fell into the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore not be chayav and Shabbos, no reason to make a zera in that case. Mishloshev HaRasara, however, if it was thrown from 3 to 10th fachim from the ground, Rabbi Kiva machayev v'chachamim pochim. Rabbi Kiva is going to say, chayev where the chachamim pochim. That's mamish like we saw with Rabbi Chilkiya bar Tuvi. The Gemara continues, Amar Mar, analyzing imay yarshus shalom mutar, that if you throw, if the domains belong to you, it's going to be permitted. The Gemara says, let me have a tiyuv to the Rav. Maybe this should be against Rav, the Itmar. because we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel the following: Shnei batim b'shnei tzidir reshus Rabim. If you had two houses on two opposite sides of a reshus Rabim in the public domain, Rav bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, so Rav Huna said, Rav also lizrok mizel azeh. It's going to prohibit you from throwing from one the other. Shmuel Amar Mitter lizrok mizel azeh. Shmuel holds that it's going to be permitted. So Rav holds that you're not allowed to throw from the two houses, even if they belong to one person. Why is that? Rashi points out, if you had been by two different people, it's possible everyone would agree there'd be usher. It must be that we're talking about it was owned by one person, yet Rav says it's usher. But the Brisa says explicitly that it's going to be mutter. So how is this not a problem with Rav? So the Gemara says, V'lav miyu kumina la hi kigon de midlei chad b'metei chad. No, we already explained this machlokas Rav Shmuel is going to be when one of the porches was higher and the other porch was lower. They're not on the same level. And they're not on the same level, we're afraid they're going to drop it. Zimna nafal v'asilesu. Yeah, we're afraid that sometimes it's going to fall in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then a person's going to come to pick it up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's why we point out from the Rashi, that Rashi here says that, and you're not afraid that the actual throwing into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not an Isser, by because that's called Misasik, because you were completely not intending on going there. You wanted to throw it to the other Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, to the other ports, and it happened to land on the ground. It had nothing to do with the original action, and it's not going to be chayv whatsoever. Okay, the Gemara continues, Amar Amalei Rav Chisda, Rav Humnuna, Amalei Rav Humnuna, Rav Chisda, Minah Amil Sadam Rabbanan, Kol Pachas B'Shosha Kilav Adami. Where do we see the halacha? Where do we learn the halacha about lavud, that extending something that's less than 3 feet from the ground is like it's the ground itself? So Amar Leis, so he responded back to him, Lefishi Yefshel Lushus Rabbim, Shetikolim Malkat Ratani, that he explained that it's impossible for the public domain to be made level with plain, since the space can't be completely smooth. Even the little difference or testimony on the ground level throughout the Rushus Rabbim, through the public domain, had to be taken into Allah in consideration over here with regards to this. So the Gemara says that Nihachi Shloshanami, but that after the case, then Tfrit Racham itself should also be considered subordinate to the Rushus Rabbim, and it should be Tfrit Racham are included in the halacha. However, that's not true. That meaning it's only less than three tefachim, we say that this halacha applies. And further, we learn in the Mishnah in Sukkah, Hamishalish Tefanos Milamala Mata, someone who's lowering the walls of a Sukkah from the top towards the bottom, meaning that the Sukkah's walls don't extend all the way to the bottom of the ground, Imhen Gvon Min Aretz Tlosha Tefachim. If they are three tefachim from the ground to the lowest point, Psula, the Sukkah is going to be invalid. Ha Pachos B'Shlosha Kshira. However, if it's less than three tefachim, it's going to be kosher. And over there, in this situation, in this case, there's nothing to do with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to made with the Sukkah over here, and this rationale doesn't apply at all, yet we still apply the Lacha of Lavud to this case of the Mishnah. It has nothing to do with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara answers this last question, where it says, no, but regards to the gap of three tefachim, the wall is going to be an invalid wall for the following reason, Mishum, because over there the wall is a partition that the goats can pass through. Therefore, it's a partition that's incapable of serving its function. The once a partition is below three tefachim, it's going to obstruct the passage of the goats, and therefore it's going to invalidate the wall of the sukkah. The Gemara says Tena Chamata. So, granted, I understand that this reasoning is at the bottom of all the Malam Ayeklamim, but we know that we apply lovewood above the ground also. We buy three tefachim by lovewood. Rashi points out we say by lovewood, like for example when it comes to the schach. So we say it by schach and the walls, right? That you have three tefachim for the wall and the schach. That has nothing to do with the animal getting in and getting out. How do we learn halakha in that circumstance? Ella kopakos b'shlosha ki lavud dami halakos l'kmirla. It must be that with this whatever halakha that came out of halakha l'moshe m'sinai, we have a halakha l'moshe m'sinai, that anything that's less than three tefachim is an extension of the thing itself. That is halakha l'moshe m'sinai, which applies to many, many halakhas, not just sukkah, erevin, a lot of halakha shabbos, different things that we apply lavud to. Okay, the mark is center abanan mershus rabban mershus rabban mershus yach. Now, what if someone throws an object from a Rishus Rabbim, public domain to public domain, and there's a private domain in between? Rabbi Machayev, Chacham, and Pochin. Rabbi is going to say Chayev, and Chacham is going to say Pater. Rav Shmuel, Dar Matavai, Rav Shmuel both said, Lo Chayev, Rabbi Eler, Rishus Hayachid Mekora. The Rabbi held you're only going to be Chayev if the private domain is roofed. There may not be a command of Mayadam, because we assume that the house is full of things inside of it, that we assume to be considered a Rishus Hayachid, usually you only need walled. In this case, though, you need walled, and you also need to have things inside of it, because an area that is both walled roofed, we're going to assume it's going to be lacking airspace entirely, and therefore it's going to be full to its roof. And therefore, something that's contained in, we're going to assume that kluta it applies, that's going to be considered as it rested in a situation where it was full. However, if the private domain is not roofed, then Rebbe would agree you're not going to be chayav. Then where's the Amar of Chana, Amar Avudah, Amar Shmuel, Mechayev Rebbe Shtayim, Achas Mishavutah, Achas Achnasa. So he said, the Rebbe said you're going to be chayav two chataoses over here, both for bringing in, for the, for, sorry, for first. first taking out and for bringing in. Because why? You're assuming that it came to rest in the private domain and then it went back out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's going to have an Akira and then a Hanacha back into the second domain, and you're going to be Chayav two different Chataos. The Gemara says now, Lemimra, the Chayav Rebbe, I told him in Makum Av, is this to assume that Rebbe is going to hold that you have a separate Chatas for only something as a subcategory of the Av over here, where we have the Hachnasa and Osa. When it comes to Hachnasa, Av is going to be Hotsa, and Hachnasa is only a Toda. So you're going to be Chayav yet on both the Av and the Toda over here, according to Rebbe. V'atanya, Rebbe Omer, Dvarim HaDvarim, Ela HaDvarim. So the Rebbe learned out that when it says Dvarim and HaDvarim, when it was the pasuk in Vayakel, right, it says over there, Rashi quotes, it says over there, Ela HaDvarim HaShem Tziva Hashem, and that's a reference to Shabbos Kodesh over there. So it's a reference to Shabbos, and what we're going to Ela HaDvarim is a Reboy. Ela references two, and then HaDvarim is a Reboy, so you have an extra third one, and then Dvarim, the word Ela itself is Gematria 36, so you get to the 39 Malachas. So Ela Shloshim V'Deish Malachas, Shem HaMashiach Sinai, Rebbe learned from there that these are the 39 Malachas that are taught in Moshe Sinai. Now we know the only reason to give a number, like we said many times, why do you need the number of 39? To teach you that you're not going to be chayav and av and a tolda. Not like Rabbi Elazar just said that there's only chashivas, there's no difference halachically. Rabbi must hold that there's a difference. So the Gemara now says, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yosef, Mara Hani Ahal Mastin Law, the Kashala the Rebbe Adarebi. So meaning you taught it that the machloka the Rebbe of Yehuda and the Rebbe of Shmuel is being respect to the rule of Rebbe, the Kashala the Rebbe Adarebi, and it was stira therefore between what Rebbe had said, meaning that you said that he's going to be chayav two chatos, as yet he's not going to be chayav told makumav. However, Anan Adarebi Yehuda Mastin, and we learn this demon of Yehuda in the name of Shmuel with respect to Rabbi Yehuda in the brace that we're going to save a lokasha, and therefore we didn't have a kasha at all because we don't assume that there's that Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold otherwise that with regards to being that there's going to be that you're going to be chayav an av b'makom tolda desanya and a tolda as well. The Gemara says desanya b'rishus yafad rishus rabim. Someone throws an object from a private domain to a public domain v'avar arba amos b'rishus rabim, and then it didn't land until it traveled 4 amos in the rishus rabim in the public domain. Rabbi Yehuda mechayav v'chachamim podrim. Yehuda says I'm going to chayav, and the Chachamim says you're going to be part of Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmal Mechayv Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayv two different chatos. It's chav achas mishum mitzav, achas mishum avar. One for taking out from the Rishus Yachin to Rishus Rabim, and then another one for passing the object 4 amos in the Rishus Rabim. We know there's a different separate iser of avar Rishus Rabim of taking something 4 amos in the Rishus Rabim. This you're going to be chayv according to Rebbe, because in this case over here where someone threw the object within 10 tefachim of the ground, the Rishus Rabim, Rabbi Yehuda is going to obviously hold of kluta that therefore it's going to be chayv, and accordingly that you threw the object, it's going to assume that it rested as soon as it hit the Rishus Rabim, and therefore when it continues 4 amos, you then transferred 4 amos to the Rishus Rabim, which you mentioned is the Din of Avara, and then it comes to Rishus Yachid, you're going to be chayav on that one. And then this would be assuming that the Chachamim would agree that you're chayav at least one chatas. What Gemara says now, if you would assume that Rabbi Yehuda only holds that you're going to be chayav one chatas in this case, Michal Rabbanan Patra the Gamre, that would assume that the Rabbanan would say that you're totally patur. But how could this be? At the end of the day, the guy took the object out of the Rishus Rabim, their private domain, and brought it to the public domain. It must be, then everyone's going to agree that you're chayav at least one chatas. The machlok is going to be whether Rabbi Yehuda is going to be chayav two chatas, as I mentioned, because he holds his kluta, and therefore it's like you had a separate transfer in the Rishus Rabim itself, and then it went to Rishus Rabim another one. Whereas Rabim don't hold the kluta, so therefore only chayav one chatas. The Gemara as a kasha, the Gemara says, "My dimal olam malach Rabbi Yehuda chadu demachayav." Maybe you can assume Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold the only chayav one chatas. Rabbanan patcha the comment. We're not going to say that you're not chayav a chatas. V'heichem mishkachasa. And how do you find such a case where Rabbanan not going to hold that he's chayav for transferring from the private into public domain? Go into Amar ad denaf. It's going to be a case where the guy intended, before throwing the object, that it should come to rest as soon as it goes into the Rishus HaRabim. And this is going to be the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. To Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Armina Kluta Kamo Shoncha. And the guy's intention, therefore, is going to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that it's contained, it's going to come to rest there. Therefore, his intent had happened over here because the object is considered as if it rested in the Rishus HaRabim right away. Meaning, we need Malachas Machshava Sasra Torah. The person has to have his, the thing that he did, right? Zarek Shtayim. If you want Niskavan, the Zarek Shtayim, Zarek Arba, you're not going to be Chayav. So here too, if you wanted it to land exactly in the beginning of the Rishus Rabim and then it continued, then your machshava never happened. However, if you hold of kluta, then it is like it happened because it's as if it landed right away in the Rishus Rabim. V'rabbanan sarvei, however, the Rabbanan are going to hold that lo min kluta mashoncha, that's not like with something that's contained over there is going to be as if halacha came to rest, and therefore v'lavdan the machshavto, therefore your machshava never happened. Then you don't have malachas machshavas, which we know only malachas machshavas out of Torah, that only when you think about it, your action that you wanted to be done was done. Here your action is not halacha give you as it happened. Avala told makom. But according to this explanation, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that someone's going to be chayav achatas for the only thing that's coming out of there. Meaning that Shmuel's main purpose in saying Rabbi Yehuda holds that the guy's going to be chayav tuchatos would be to teach us the chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda holds that someone's going to be chayav a told of makom av, and that we still have that kash over here. So Gemara says, "Lo sakal daitach." You don't have to see him this way. The sanya Rabbi Yehuda mosif af hashovet v'amedaktik. Rabbi Yehuda in the list of the 39 avos malachos, he also adds up that if you line up the warp with a rod and also beat the threads, you're also going to be chayav two separate chatoses. The Gemara says, "Amru lo shovet arayu b'chal mesach." They said that lining up the rod is part of the category of getting preparing the warp. So Marzah medakta kaya bechlal oreg, and also beating the threads is also going to include in the malacha of oreg, which is weaving. So there's not the chacham and responder. Not going to be a separate chiyuv over there. So Marzah says my lav davidinu l'tavare ba'adadadik. Now the Brisa maybe is referring to the case where someone did both of them together. So the Gemara says ushvamin hamachayv Rabbi Yehuda told the makamav, but maybe really it is. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you actually chayv the subcategory of the tolda, even where the av over here. We're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda added to this list within the malacha at this point. Rashi says kedanei shovet bechal mesech, that this would be included in the main category for preparing the warp. The av, that this would be only a tolda in the havamin right now. The Gemara just says, no, am I? How do you assume that this is only a tolda over here? Dilma la'olam avdele lechude v'alechude. Maybe bechal that the guy performed this one alone. Rabbi Yehuda told him makom av l'mechayv. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that you're going to be chayav if you do an av malacha, the prime malacha, and the subcategory. And this is machlokas tanaim. The Rabbi Yehuda sever ani avos ninu. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is in fact an av malacha, and that's why you add it to the list. And Rabbanan holds that this is only a tolda. That's why you're chayav. So we don't have a proof anywhere that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you'd be chayav the av makom tolda, that if you do the av and the tolda together, you'd be chayav two different chatoses. The Gemara now shows that this is actually correct. Heida the Ketani Rabbi Yehuda mosif. So it says that Rabbi Yehuda added to the list. If you want to see, he's adding to the list of the main malachas of the 39 avos malachas, then my mosif avos, and he's adding two main labors to that halacha. Primary labor is going to have the list of 41. Ella Yamar told us that if you've assumed Rabbi Yehuda is only referring to the subcategories, my mosif, what is he adding? What does it mean that he's adding something with only the avos? Rashi points out only the avos are mentioned in the Mishnah, so the brisa must mean that he's adding two additional avos. So the Gemara says Itmar Nami. So also stating could turn Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, Ritavai, Lo Chayv Rabbi Yehuda Ella Achas. Rabbi Yehuda only hold that you're going to be chayav one if you're a Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara says now Amar Le Ravina the Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Ilamai the Sakkad Adai to Mekar to Mechayv Rabbi Yehuda Shteim. Rabbi Yehuda held you're going to be chayav two different chatos. Says Ila Hachi Kebayle. If the throw wanted the object to land over here, it actually came to rest, meaning four avos the Rosh Hashanah, then he didn't want it to land right outside in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So how could be chayav ila hachak abayla? Or if he wanted to land immediately outside the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then he didn't want it in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Meaning, how could it be chayav two different chatos in the Havamina? How could he even have such a Havamina? The Gemara says, Amr lei, but Omer, kol makom shetzes nuach. The Gemara answers that he intended, said wherever it lands, so therefore, Malachas Machsheves is in fact fulfilled by both of them, and therefore you can be chayav two chatos. Okay, we'll pick up Mitzvah Shem with the Pshita, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.